Dearest darling Florence, today is Wednesday and you've been gone 3 days. And I've been so busy for 3 days that I haven't got my head up from the desk yet. I don't know where to start to tell you what all I've been doing, but I'll start out by saying I just got through watching the Joe Frazier-Lewis fight, the one that you saw and told me to watch the first opportunity I had. And so this was the first opportunity. It just came on tonight for the first time for a half an hour. It showed the rounds up to 5, 8, 11, 14, and 15. But they were exciting rounds, although I'm a little bit surprised. I thought Frazier was a better fighter than he showed to be. And Ali didn't show too much, you know, except at the very beginning. He showed he's doing very good, but it was a fight that the whole world had been looking forward to. And consequently, there was a lot of emotion attached to it. I rather am glad that I wasn't on the receiving end of some of that wild punches. Boy, those fellas hit real hard, man. Real, real hard. Well, how did it feel to get home and see your little happy apartment? How did it feel to get to see the maid first chance? How did it feel to ride in a taxi and zipping along till you got home? I imagine it was kind of exciting, let's say, to get home, probably. Although I know that you would like to have been home with me, but I should think get home in a couple of weeks if everything goes right. I put in my request to leave here on the 2nd of May, which is a Sunday, and I'll probably be home by then. Let's hope so anyway. Well, gee, I've been flying all day and I'm a little bit groggy almost. Something that I don't usually do is fly all day. I had to go down in a district today, and we were all over the country because I had to catch the swing ship, and it stopped here and there and all over. That'd be a good thing for us to ride on. Next time you come, maybe I'll bum a ride on it and let him take us around, and you can see the country. Maybe we won't stop in any one place for too long. But there's some country here, and there's lots of it, lots going on out there that you might be able to see. Well, I was flying because I had to go down to Bindai and check and have an inventory on the furniture down there. Nothing real exciting, but it took me all day. I left here at 10 o'clock, 10:30, and I got back in at 4:30. And flop, flop, flop in all those hours, and those floppers really get you tired. Then we had to pull out. We went over to another province where they fuel. Then we come back, and on the way back, they grounded us, and we all had to get out till the chopper went with a district senior advisor and went out and picked up a prisoner and brought in. That stopped us for about a half an hour. But we got back in, everything was all right, except that I'm a little bit tired tonight. Last night, I wrote a letter to Lou Warman and thanked him for sending us the information about Tommy and told him about your visit and told him about what things were like here now, give him some of my views, recommended that he go into the real estate business, and ask him to give me a plug if he wrote to anybody in Washington, and that's about all. I also put some checks in the bank that I hadn't cashed, and also I, let's see, what else did I do? Also, I had another letter I wrote, I did something with, wrote to my, the bank that has my shares of stock and asking some questions that I didn't understand about that thing that they sent me, that statement. So then COCOM come over and she had a couple of packs of film and she wanted me to mail, and so I had a whole handful of mail this morning. But anyway, that's the reason I didn't write to you sooner, or haven't sent you a tape already. But I want to tell you how much I enjoyed your visit. Gee, you're a nice girl. I think you're the nicest person in the whole world. Damn it, it's too bad that you just can't be with me all the time to talk to me and love me and keep me hepped up and give me a lot of pep talks going on, you know, and keep the action going all the time. Doggone it, it just seems like I'm missing out on a heck of a lot. Well, it takes us about 2 weeks to get organized with one another once we get together, and then it's time to separate again. We could do wonderful if we were together a little longer. Don't you think so? As old as we're getting, it's getting, I guess we're getting set in our ways, I notice. But you're so kind to me, and you do such nice things, and it's a little hard. I actually don't know but what I'm a little bit shy, not embarrassed, but a little bit shy to do the things that I do normally, like caress you and tell you how much I love you and a lot of that business. And so, as I say, it takes a few days till you get these things going again and we both get in complete harmony. But I sure do like to have you around. Boy, you're a sweet one for me. And when I took you up there and put you on the plane and put you up to, took you up to the air station and you let me go, it just felt good because I was feeling a little bit like it was something I ought to say and take you in my arms and caress you for an hour or two, but I couldn't do it there, so and I'm glad that Steve and Mary was there along so that Steve could put you on a plane when I left. I'm glad you let me go because it took me a good long time to get home. I left up there and we went right straight home, but it took me about 3 hours to get home for some reason or other, longer than normally. Then when I got home, it was Sunday afternoon, of course. So I dropped over to see the old man. And Jesus, was he teed off at me. He said, I never want again for you to leave the province of Mr. Toon to go at the same time. I said, what happened? He said, the gate out there didn't have any supervision. And I said, that's not true. I left that gate under the supervision of the PA&E people. I said that was Wally's job, and he said he'd take care of it. Well, he said, it's running all right, but Mr. Tun wasn't there, and you wasn't there. And I said, I set the whole damn thing up. I said, I got everybody involved, and I got the people, and I got the material, and Wally said he would run it. And I said, I put my own men on it and hired some Chuhoy guys. Well, he said, that was all right. But he said, Mr. Eckhart, Colonel Eckhart, got up Sunday morning and there wasn't any water and nobody to fix it for him. I thought to myself, Jesus Christ. These guys get so damn helpless they can't even wipe their own butt just because they're in charge of something. But anyway, they got the water fixed. So then he said something else. The inventory bounced, and I got lots of discrepancies on that inventory, which is not good at all. But I'm getting them straightened out now. Just some things that we had to hurry on, and I couldn't get them. Tun got married and took leave, and it was just something. So then, to top it all off, he called me up the next morning and he said, Carl, I just got a paper back here from Canto. They sent it back for my signature. And he said, there's also some errors in the figures on it. And I said, well, I couldn't say anything about the thing being mailed without him signing it. He said, now I want to tell you that office is beginning to deteriorate, and I want you to do something about it. I thought to myself, oh my God, just for missing a lousy, one of the secretaries in which Conan made the mistake mailing that stuff out, and without being signed, he says it's deteriorating. Well, maybe it is. That Conan has got me in a couple of jams here lately, and I don't know if this keeps up. I'm going to have to canter, I guess. Well, so much for my little problems here. Anyway, I'm still working on the inventory to get it fixed up, still having lots of problems with it, and I don't know how I'm going to account for 100 and some chairs they got me that I'll be missing, but I've got to come up with them someplace. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, I don't know. But nevertheless, life is still pretty exciting and interesting, and I think we're going to hack it all right, and we're going to do all right. If I can just get you lined up with a nice little bungalow down in some African country where I can go to work each day and have the same troubles that I have here, then by golly, come home at the end of the day and see you in the little bungalow with your maid taking care of you and your hair all curled and natural gray and no dye on it and no burned ears, no sunstroke, and you're feeling pretty and everybody's skinny and raucous and your eyebrows raised and your forehead wrinkled up high where you're keeping your thoughts positive, and you're saying to yourself, oh boy, this is sure a good life when you think that you think the right way and you do the right things. This is sure a good life. Well, so it is. And that's the way it is now. Although I get in the doldrums quite a bit since I've quit taking the happy pills. I get down, but it doesn't seem to do much for me, against me. I think that's the natural state of man, so I guess that's the way we're supposed to do. Well, I'm not going to worry about that anymore. I see what else I can worry about. My plans, as I say, are to come home on the 2nd. My papers got in late today. They sent them down. I just look forward to one step at a time, I guess, until we get this tour of duty completed. Then I don't know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to have you around to tell me all about how we should plan. Now, I was going to do a lot of planning with you this time when you was here, but we didn't do a lot of planning because of some reason or other, the time just slipped by, and soon here it was time for you to go up there. Oh, by the way, the boss also told me why did Mr. Pitts had to stay 2 days, why did he go up last night? And I said, well, go up Saturday night. I said, well, Mr. Kotzebue, I think that because we planned on taking one car, and then I finally realized that I would have to wait an extra night. So when he came in, I talked him into taking two cars, and we just went ahead with our schedule. So when John came back on Monday, I told him that the boss had been shooting off a little bit, so to be prepared. And I don't know what he said to him. I don't know what Kotzebue said to him, but I didn't get to see him after that. Colonel Eckhart left yesterday, I guess, or Monday. He's in Manila now. He stays 2 or 3 days, then comes back. He don't stay too long, but he's gone now. He might get in touch with you while he's there. I don't know. They don't get in touch with you too much, so he might not either. I'm going to have to write a letter to Eileen and tell her how sorry we are that she lost Tommy. I don't know quite how to tell her. I can't say it in those words, I guess, but the thought will be there that we're sorry. I guess I ought to tell her how good Tommy is, has been. Maybe. I don't want to compound her pain and sorrow. But what can you do? I guess it's an obligation and a duty in our society to talk about the sadness and unhappiness of death. But as you and I discussed it, the people that are sorrowing are not sorrowing for the dead person. They're feeling sorry for themselves. So that let that be a lesson to you. When I die, just smile, say, Carly gone to heaven. But I don't think you have to worry. I'm going to live forever, and so are you. Forever and a day. Well, this tape is a half an hour on a side, so I guess I'm going to have to just give you a half an hour's tape and leave the other side blank. So I'll set that schedule now, and you can anticipate and expect to only get a half an hour. Then you can write on the other side, or you can erase this one. I hope that you had written that other tape, or talked the rest of that tape to Lou, Bruce, and sent it off to him. Let's see, this is April, March, April, May. April is still cold back there in old Colorado. And May and June will warm up, but March is a windy month, and April, I guess it starts to melting and greening up a little bit. But anyway, I guess maybe Lou will get out a little more, maybe, and I think probably the pain will leave him. I hope it do. He's should be pain-free, right? And also, I've got to send a tape to my dear dad. And for his birthday, let's see, how shall I start? Dad, this is your son, who's writing to you today to honor you at your 90th birthday. How can a 57-year-old son start to congratulate his dad on his 90th birthday? It should be done with dignity, of course. It should be done with intelligence. It should be done with clear-sighted vision of what lies ahead and a clear remembrance of what's gone on behind or before. Dad, the first thing I can say is that, the first thing I will say is that you're the greatest. I've never known a man like you in my 57 years. I've never known a man who was reborn. I've never seen a man who was reborn. I've heard about him, but I was been fortunate enough to witness a man who had been born again. A man who learned to temper his passions after a fashion. A man who learned to observe the world around him, the people around him, the events around him, and use it in his daily life. Well, what does that sound like? That's just something. I know that's not what I'm going to send him, but anyway, it'll be something like that. I don't know. I'll diddle around here and think of something. Dad, Florence and I want to wish you the best birthday possible. I know that today, your birthday, a lot of people will be gathered around you to congratulate you, to pat you on the back, to talk about your achievements and the change that's occurred in the world in your life's period. I know that everybody's going to treat you nice, and somebody might even give you some neckties and handkerchiefs and things that might better be left on the store, in the store for somebody else. But Florence and I can't be with you to pat you on the back in person. But it's these last few years, it seems to me that you know that we're with you in mind and spirit. It seems that all of our dealings together brought us close enough together that we can sense one another. Well, here I get lost in there. See, what this is kind of tough to do. But anyway, I'll get in the mood. I'll get in the mood early in the morning, Sunday morning, when I don't have to go to work and my mind is fresh. Right now, my mind is real tired. And it's difficult. I think you can tell that it's difficult for me to talk, and that I keep it glimping around here into something. But I like talking better than I do typing. Mostly because I'm out of the practice of typing, as I used to type and think. I you hear me yawning? Ooh. Another thing that's wrong with me while I'm sitting here talking to you, that I watched the fight just before I started to tape this. While I'm sitting here talking, the television's on, and I'm watching a professional basketball game, and every once in a while, my mind gets sort of lost watching some guy make a basket. Now, that's a stupid thing to do, to be talking to the girl you love and watching a basketball game at the same time. So I think that I'm going to turn my back on the basketball game for the rest of this tape, and I'm going to start talking to you with love and honor and oh baby.
She raised a few eyebrows and then she rolled down the lawn. Now won't you bat it down by Baton Rouge, River Queen, and roll it on. Take that woman on down to New Orleans, New Orleans. Go on, I've had enough of my blues down in the gutter.
Okay, this is the way we start the morning. I've got to tell you this morning how much I love you again. And in the background, old Johnny Cash is talking to you. He's saying, talking about the big river.
Now I talk to weeping willow, how dry, dry, dry. And I show the clouds how to cover up a clear blue sky. And the tears that I cried for that woman are gonna flood at you.
Tears that I cry for that woman, I'm gonna sit right here until I die, until I cry, cry, cry. This is 5:30 in the morning on Thursday. I'm gonna run this end of this tape off so that I can get it to you, honey. It's a beautiful morning. I'm drinking my coffee and thinking of you. And as I woke up this morning in my little bunk, I thought, wouldn't it be nice to have my honey on my puddy so that I could hold her to me and squeeze her and whisper in her ear.
So this little whispering in your ear now is reality, sending you by the tape. And I can tell you that I just love you so much this morning. I wish that we were together so that I could show you by my actions and the things that I'll do for you all day long. You're a sweet one, the nicest girl in all the world. I know that as I start this day, things are going to be wonderful. I've got to get going and cracking right away on my inventory and get it out of the way, because I've got to have that work finished before I go visit you this time. I'll get started early this morning. I'll be full of vitality and energy. Then I've got some other things to do, some writing to do, some directives to put out. But I'll get it all done, and I'll be sure that you get to hear about it when I come home. I hope you have a lovely day today, honey. I'm sure you will have. I don't know when you'll get this tape. You might get it in the evening and play it, and then you'll have to play it again in the morning so that you can get the same kind of a thrill that I get out of the morning rising. Look forward with hope and anticipation to what the day will bring. I'm sure that as we go through this day, we're going to be happy, because the good Lord is with us and watching over us and has protected us all the time. He smiles on you and I because we live the good life. And the good life is brought on by your love and my love for you and your sweet way of living and treating me. I think you're the most wonderful person in all the world. Goodbye for now, honey. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.